Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes. Chicago.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is every team. This is the NFL. So this is what happens when you play a 17-game season. And it just so happened, back half of the season's when it caught up to us a little bit. And, you know, we'll get some of the reinforcements back at some point. But until then, we've got to hold down the fort. And so that's what we'll do.
That is Ben Johnson after the game yesterday. And it usually does happen in the NFL. But man, yesterday was something. No starting linebackers. And at one point, Jonah Jackson goes down and Luke Newman you're seeing after he had been seen in the I formation a little bit. Obviously in the secondary, the massive amount of shuffling that's gone on, including yesterday when McLeod had to come in for Tyreek. Still no Jalen Johnson. It was chaos on the depth chart, but not chaos on the field from the Chicago Bears. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I want to play this from the morning show, and then get your thoughts on it. And I think it speaks to something you've been dying to discuss. This is Brad Biggs this morning with Mully and Haw talking about something that Tyson Bagent mentioned to him kind of in passing this week, and Brad started thinking about it.
I had a conversation last week with Tyson Bagent. We were just talking about running scout team cards in practice, okay? And he sort of steered the conversation to this idea that Ben Johnson and his staff do a remarkable job preparing backups to play, to be ready. And not him specifically, just overall. And as I'm watching the game yesterday, and they've got Jackson and Ogbonbamiga at linebacker after Hippolyte had gone out, they got dudes missing in the secondary, and the left tackle situation popped up, and then, what do you know, Jonah Jackson spends the second quarter in the locker room. I'm thinking, maybe Bagent's onto something here. Maybe they do have a way of keeping things so competitive for the reserves that they can step up and make plays when called upon.
What does that look like, Ant? You've been on NFL rosters. What does it look like to keep things competitive, to do things in a way that makes the backups more ready than another team might have them ready?
It's about detail and forcing yourself as a coach, forcing the players who are not only the starters, but the players who will back them up, the players who are in that meeting room with them, to operate with a depth of detail, the fundamentals of their position. And it matters even more once you get to this point in the season where you haven't been padded up in practice for a while and you're not going to pad up in practice virtually at all for the remainder of the year because so many guys get banged up and because the product that's on the field on game day matters so much. And as you go back to years and, you know, for the years, I think I've been talking Bears in this town for like going on a decade at this point. Of course, grew up following them closely. But for this stretch of Beardom, the main issue I've had for so much of the conversation that we've had in this city about quarterbacks and first round picks and all these guys who haven't turned into great players here is that it's okay to draft traits, but then at some point the onus is on the organization, especially with the quarterback, because that's the most prominent spot. But at a certain point when the player doesn't pan out, it's too simplistic to just say that guy was a bust, to just say that guy didn't pan out. Because when the guy comes from college football and gets to the National Football League, you've got to develop the talents that are there. You've got to put those individuals in positions to succeed, and you need to train them. You need to nurture that skill set that's there to make sure you're going to maximize their potential here. And the Bears have struggled with that through multiple regimes, multiple administrations, haven't gotten the most out of young players that they've drafted, young players who they signed off of other practice squads, to get guys who can achieve, who can succeed over any extended period of time. And we're in the midst of a season right now where it feels like there's more of a developmental focus for this squad. And hand up, I was really encouraged with the thought that Matt Eberflus might be that guy, even though I've never known anyone to describe Matt Eberflus as some sort of an X's and O's guru, but just as kind of a football traditionalist.
Yeah, and a teacher.
Believes in hard work.
And yeah. A fundamental teacher, right? A teacher
right.
of fundamentals. I get it.
Yes, but to not have that play out on the field because he was so ineffective as a head coach.
Hmm.
And so the development arm of the roster top to bottom never came through because the players just frankly didn't believe in him as an overall leader of the organization. Now you've got a head coach, coordinators, and a staff of assistants in place that coach the game in such detail and are consistent with the way they demand those details and those fundamentals and the preparation for situations. And all those things apply to not only the starters, but the backups on this team too.
And that's why you're seeing it. No, I love that. And there's some basics too. I love that when Luke Newman had to come in and play left guard, he'd already played fullback in the I formation. He's already
right.
like, all right, well, yeah, I've been in this game. Okay, yeah, I'm good. Listen to Ozzie Trapillo after the game. And we could talk about him in some more detail, and I'd love to, and watching the tape really helps you talk about an offensive lineman. He graded out extremely well, but Caleb also got rid of the ball really fast by design and did a good job doing that, so it can be hard to tell. And they didn't run the ball as great as they have at times, so you wonder if Theo's better as a run blocker, a tackle as well. But either way, Ozzie Trapillo had a really, really good day representing himself at a left tackle position that we had been led to believe he could not play, at least at this point. But here he was doing it yesterday, and he talked about learning while he had been used in the jumbo package all those different times in previous weeks. Here's Ozzie.
Yeah, I think it definitely helped, especially, you know, moving around, motioning, things like that. You know, I think it helps a lot being right in the left-handed stance. You know, sometimes it's pass, sometimes it's run. So I think it helps me kind of acclimate in a way.
That's just a small thing, but like, talk about getting a guy comfortable in the NFL, believing that he can just line up and know what the hell he's doing, and then he's got to go out there and do it yesterday. They've done that with a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys who've gotten a little taste of action and then have earned more, like Luther Burden. Luther Burden has
yep.
earned more time, and he's still a work in progress as you watch mm-hmm. him. He's still developing, but we're seeing it happen, aren't we?
We're seeing him develop in that way, and the main concern that anyone had about Luther Burden specifically in the draft process was when he doesn't have the football, that his focus would wane, that he didn't stay locked in, that he wasn't an effort-based player if he wasn't the one with the football, if he wasn't the one who thought he was going to be one of the primary options to get the football. But again, and Antoine Randall-El, having him as a position coach, and we know Jameson Williams and having him and those talents in Detroit, but a personality that could maybe be a bit immature at times. And he has been able to turn Jameson Williams and helping that development
yes.
and him becoming a stud for the Lions in that system and what they developed there. And Luther Burden's skill set is different than Williams, but as far as a personality and a guy who needs to focus on the details of his position and learn and commit to what it's like to be a professional, mm-hmm. to be at your peak on such a consistent basis, then he's got a position coach and a head coach slash coordinator who demand that of him and everyone else around him. So now everyone knows that there's a recognition for what you have to do to succeed with this staff. And what I love from the game yesterday is that there was one play where Luther Burden was blocking his tail off in the open field, and I believe it was a Kyle Manunga run.
Yes.
And then the very next play, here he came on a glance route over the head of the linebacker. So that no block, no rock, say, hey, great block. Here's the rock on the very next play after that. I'm confident, and I hope someone asks Ben Johnson about it the next time he addresses the media, because I am confident somebody saw that. Antoine Randall lost his mind about some great block Luther Burden made, and Ben Johnson in the sense said, you know what?
I was getting that rock.
He earned being the primary guy. Let me get the ball to this dude because he is locked in on this drive right now.
And then Ben schemes the primary guys wide open. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. One more. A defensive replacement I want to highlight in a minute, but we're continuing to take your phone calls and read your texts. Here's Jamal in Tinley Park on 670 The Score. Jamal, welcome in.
How you guys doing?
Great.
And to your point about development, I think the most exciting piece for me is, like, this isn't a Ryan Pace, high-priced, aging veteran push for the playoff. These are, like, first and second-year players. When you think about Caleb and Rome and Luther and Ozzie and Loveland, like, so when you think about adding Ben Johnson to that mix and all of this happening in the first year, it just excites me to maybe have some sustainability moving forward with the Bears.
Yeah, no, it's a great call. Yep. And that's the dream, is that you develop together and you grow together. And it's enhanced by the fact that you enjoy working together. And that's happening. I mean, like, the soft factors, whew, it's hitting me in the feelings corner. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely love that, man. I'm driving back from Madison, Wisconsin, and I unlike you, actually, I love to listen to the various shows on the station here on the Odyssey app or the Audacity app, whichever one you
thank
prefer
you.
To call it.
Audacity, so, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm driving back after calling that game between Illinois and Wisconsin. And
yeah.
All right, I'm starting to drag a little bit. It's very late at night. I had a primetime game. Let me turn on the Audacity app so I can make sure I'm going to listen to some of the guys on the station. I turned you guys and Olin on,
yeah.
And when Olin talked about the speaker, feelings corner, I lost my damn mind.
Yeah.
I was howling.
That's as good as anybody's ever given it to me. I deserved it in full, and that man gave it to me. Like, I knew it was coming, the Spiegel feelings corner. I knew it was coming, but then he gave me a great answer tucked in there in the middle, didn't he?
Okay.
You heard it. He gave me a great feelings answer tucked in there.
Oh, I completely tuned out after the speaker feelings one. I have no idea what he said next.
That's the genius. That's the genius of Olin. This is Matt from Belvedere. Matt from Belvedere, you're on the score with Spiegs and Ann Heron. What's up?
How you guys doing today?
Great.
Just wanted to call in. This was my Super Bowl game. If Rodgers played, I'm kind of happy he didn't, but we got the victory. And my question is, with the Caleb Williams, his throws are kind of high. I don't hear no one talking about it. Is it because we're just not getting those turnovers? Or we got any concern about that? But I just love that we're winning.
Yeah, no, the concern on Caleb's accuracy, hell yeah. There's all kinds of concern on that. There's understandable concern on that. He is a growing and developing quarterback, and he did a very nice job in bouncing back from that. But, you know, it is an amazing stat from Kevin Fishbane earlier today on Twitter, okay? Caleb Williams has been under 70% in 7 different games. The Bears are 7-0 in those games. All other teams this season, when their quarterback throws below 60%, are 26-58. They have a 3-10 winning percentage. The Bears are 7-0 when Caleb completes less than 60% of his passes. That, my friends, is probably not sustainable. You know, that's one of those things that I know you are what your record says you are, and we started the show with that, but it is a little bit of a conundrum on some of the stuff, and quarterback accuracy is one of the things. He's not throwing interceptions. He's not ending up with interceptions. Sometimes on the deep balls, I think that's by design, that he makes sure not to throw it, you know, so close that it could be an interception. But there were some yesterday where he was fortunate not to have an interception. Right, Ant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the caller could go back on the Odyssey app. We were having that discussion a little bit with Kurt Warner in the previous hour of the show here also, just to try to work through some of the things that Kurt is seeing, because he's evaluating Caleb on a weekly basis for this show. And he, you know, loves watching quarterbacks all over the league, of course, anyway. But mechanically, it's one thing, and Kurt broke that down in detail for us. For me, part of my impression of where Caleb is at in his development right now as well, because the inconsistency with accuracy is certainly there, and it's apparent. But as Caleb is working with Ben Johnson and sort of retraining and Ben kind of reprogramming Caleb to a certain extent, there's a combination there. There's Ben reprogramming Caleb, but there's also Ben Johnson accepting and receiving what Caleb is as a playmaker as well. So yesterday's game wasn't necessarily Ben putting Caleb in playmaker position. It was Ben tasking Caleb with operating from the pocket,
yes,
and being precise and consistent. And so those inconsistencies showed up more. But we also saw a version of Caleb that had a lot of really nice moments from the pocket as well. And it showed up in the stat you mentioned earlier, where that was his lowest time to throw of any game so far this season. Well, I didn't even realize. You know, I thought maybe the Dallas game, or there'd be some other games earlier in the season where that was even more consistent, mm-hmm, with him not holding the ball. But yesterday's game being that, I even take that just as more tangible evidence of a sign of that. But when you think about the idea of having to think, having to process, and how that can slow you down in your comfort, and overall, just playing free. And I can get into Montez Sweat a little bit later today, or when, mm-hmm, we're together again tomorrow. That's a part of what I'm seeing with Montez Sweat, is a guy who's playing more free now and comfort in the system. And everything that Caleb has to diagnose, and he's never in his football journey been tasked with being as precise as Ben Johnson is trying to require him to be right now. So we're watching the growth. And it's just kind of an aggregation of marginal gains, where you can watch things on a weekly basis and say, there's an element that Caleb's better at. There's an element that Caleb's more comfortable with.
Yes.
And to me, the accuracy is on the way with those other elements that we're watching.
Yeah, that's well said. It's a slow and marginal growth, but it is happening, and it requires patience. And I have struggled with that patience sometimes this year. Even in wins, I have struggled, yeah, you know? But yeah, I saw a lot of progress yesterday. I mean, that second half, but also just the way that he ran a couple of different things, and we can get to one of them in a second. But first, this is Caleb asked about his accuracy in the post game yesterday and how it improved during the course of the game.
You mentioned some frustration with your accuracy.
Yep.
When you're in a funk like that, how do you pull out of it?
Yeah, you next play mindset, and then from there you just got to go out there and execute.
Is it footwork?
In the beginning it didn't feel like I got into a, you know, a good rhythm. I was missing passes and it was it was kind of weird. It was just, you know, I wasn't too frustrated like, you know, the couple weeks ago where I was just missing, and I got supremely frustrated and things like that. You know, I understood, you know, and I wrote on my notes for myself to stay positive for myself, but also the guys. And, you know, I think I did a solid job with that this week, and just was missing. And it was like I said, on passes and routes that I've been hitting the past couple of weeks and been pretty good with. And so we'll figure it out. We'll go back and watch and figure out why.
Let me just say, respect, Caleb, for letting us in on the growth and like the need for the positivity to yourself within the game. I think any of us listening and thinking about it can relate. Sometimes within a radio show, within a work day, within a life, whatever. Like, oh man, I'm starting to beat myself up here. That doesn't work. So whatever it takes for him to do that. And he's saying specifically it was different than 2 weeks ago. I mean, the kid is evolving and developing.
It's in real time.
Woo,
it's
man.
In real time.
Isn't that like the most important thing we're looking at with him too? Because we know there are going to be some inaccurate throws and some ups and downs, but how he responds to those is the most important thing.
I think it probably is. It probably is right now. And I do believe he can get more accurate as he gets more comfortable. I've always believed that's the truth about quarterbacks, but we didn't see it happen with Trubisky. And I remember specifically that conversation. Oh, yes, accuracy will improve as he gets more comfortable. Did not happen with Mitch. I want to believe that it can happen on a human level, and I do believe it can happen with Caleb. But yeah, I mean, I thought that's awesome. And did you see him on the sideline? And there was one time they cut to him on the sideline. His eyes were closed. He was trying to have like a quiet, seemingly like a, what, like a mindful moment or something, or just slow down his breathing, something like that?
I remember seeing the shot you're mentioning, and I was trying to figure out, were his eyes actually closed, or was he just looking down at the tablet?
Yeah, and it might have been, was it just
maybe
down?
Both.
I don't
maybe
know.
Both.
It might have just like, been down.
In my mind, I ended up deciding he was just looking down at the tablet. But maybe he had his eyes closed and he was in a deep, thoughtful moment as well.
One more quick thing. This is J.J. Watt on a screen pass to DeAndre Swift that Caleb Williams did something very important on.
Man, the patience by Caleb Williams here to let all these rushers get all the way up into his face before letting this ball go right behind him to Swift. And look at all that open space in front of him with a couple offensive linemen leading the way. Gorgeous play design and great execution by Caleb Williams holding that ball for the extra second with the pass rushers bearing down on him.
Hey, man, we've talked about it all year. Give him respect for holding it that extra bit. There were three dudes in his face. They didn't end up hitting him, but he, like, spun away from them. And, like, I'm sure he was convinced he was going to get hit, but he waited as long as he needed to and just lofted it over the top. So we're seeing the growth in real time, man.
One of my favorite poems is by Rudyard Kipling called If. And it begins, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, and the chaos that's there throughout a football game with those 22 bodies all padded up, running into each other and flying past each other, and there is nobody on the field of those 22 bodies that's under more duress, both physically and mentally, than the quarterback. And so that chaos that's constantly there for the QB, they're the one most tasked with trying to contain it and control it and execute in the face of it on a snap in, snap out basis with 11 angry guys, most of them big and ugly like me, trying to figure out, how do I either eviscerate this guy physically, or how do I confuse the mess out of him so he coughs up the football and gives it to us? And for Caleb, his way at every other stage in his development of mastering that chaos has been the physical. And we're watching Caleb Williams try to develop the tact to be able to defeat the defense consistently with his brain, with his mind, even as much as he's capable of doing so with his body. And it's not an automatic overnight thing. It is not the period at the end of the sentence. We are nowhere near the end of Caleb's development. So the fact the Bears are 8-3 and there's so much ground for this young quarterback to still cover should be really exciting to people.
Good stuff. And just another Rudyard Kipling reference in Chicago Sports Talk Radio. You know what I mean? So tired. So much Kipling everywhere you turn.
That's all over the text line. Too much Kipling.
No.
Had enough of the Kipling.
More Goethe, less Kipling. He's Ann Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegs and Holmes, but Spiegs and Ann Herron here on a Thanksgiving week. We continue to take your phone calls and your texts, and also halftime adjustments from a coaching staff. Let's discuss on the score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on the Score.
That throw is right on the money to Odunze. Well placed by Williams. Tackle made by Joey Porter Jr. Another first down for the Bears.
That from the first drive of the third quarter by the Bears. A three and out for the Steelers to begin the third quarter. And then Caleb to Rome for 17. That ball a little bit behind him, turned him around, but Rome made a nice play. Then the one you just heard, 14 yards to Rome. Then a five-yarder to DJ Moore with the taunting penalty, but that was complete. Then the screen to DeAndre Swift that we talked about last segment. And then the 25-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore on the free play. Five passes in a row, and he was 10 for 21 at the half. So what? He was 9 for 14 in the second half and much more accurate. But Anthony Herron, listen to this. Expected points added, so EPA per drop back in terms of passing, okay? From the first half to the second half, this comes from Deontay Lee of The Ringer on Twitter yesterday. Chicago jumps from 18th to 8th from the first half to the second half. In rushing success rate, Chicago jumps from 16th in the first half to 1st in the second half. If you feel like you're seeing offensive adjustments from your head coach that make them come out of the locker room anew, you are correct by the numbers.
And to be able to have that as the result for this squad, to have young players still figuring out whether or not they're capable of true success in the NFL, to have veterans who maybe been other spots who say, all right, this new guy, this first-year head coach Ben Johnson, this supposed offensive wizard, when you're seeing the tangible evidence of results, then everyone buys in that much more. That speaks to the culture. Another data point of culture we're talking about there, where you come out of the locker room and you feel like you're going to have an edge on the other team, that your staff is going to find ways to continue putting you in situations for success once you step back out there. To step out of the locker room with confidence in the second half, that matters. That means something if you believe your coaching staff is actually going to give you the upper hand, John Doe style from 7, on the opponent when you get back onto the field. That belief ends up meaning something.
John Doe has the upper hand. John Doe hand. I know. But how about at the beginning? They got a plus point differential in the first quarter of what? Plus 32? J.J. Watt was talking about that. We know
I believe
that.
It is now, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're great in the first quarter in terms of points. And Caleb's QBR is really good. in the first quarter. So, yeah, you're seeing it. And then on defense, listen to Kevin Byard talking about Dennis Allen adjusting to the injuries that we saw on the defense yesterday.
How did you think D.A. adjusted to, you know, missing some of these starters on defense? What do you think all for you guys?
Yeah, you know, obviously we had a lot more DBs out there, the able bodies that we had. And like you said, I think it was pretty good. There's always things we can be better at, but I'm just proud of the guys being able to finish those last two drives on defense, getting the three and out, I think, before, and then obviously getting the stop at the end of the game. So just super happy the way we were able to finish this time around.
Man, you look at this snap count. There are so many defensive backs that played more than 10 snaps. Elijah Hicks was out there for 16 snaps. You know, Tyreek only played 12, so there were all kinds of dudes filling in. McLeod had the 57 snaps. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was out there 90% of the time, so they were almost always in the nickel. We've talked a lot about the linebackers because, you know, DeMarco Jackson played 100% of the snaps, and but Ruben Hippolyte left after only 13, so Amen Ogbon Gamija with 42 snaps, 58% of them, but like, there were so many dudes out there. D.A. did a crazy good job of adjusting, didn't he?
He did. I loved what he did with the linebacker depth and utilizing the secondary in the ways that he did. And some of it is just unavoidable. And the good thing about modern football is that you're going to be in sub-packages pretty frequently anyway. And sub-packages meaning when you're not in your traditional defense where you got your down linemen and several linebackers on the field, perhaps more so anticipating run than pass.
Yeah.
When you get into the sub-packages, nickel and dime, where you have more defensive backs on the field, more personnel capable of defending the pass than the run, then you put the opponent in a position where they know schematically there's a chance to try and attack that. The Steelers, the Arthur Smith version of the Steelers, has not been any kind of run-first outfit anyway. And so for Pittsburgh's offense, in some ways it played into the Bears' hands because as opposed to trying to run downhill at the Bears, they utilized a lot of short, quick pass game and having – honestly, I thought the offense was going to adjust. When we found out that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play in the game, and I'm on there with Luke and Ellis and Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn. We get the news live in real time while we're in the middle of doing Bears Game Day Live. So we're reacting. My first reaction was Mason Rudolph likes to throw the deep ball. Mason Rudolph at this point in his football journey has a bigger arm than Aaron Rodgers. Look for the deep shot to DK Metcalf. The game is going to have more verticality to it. They're going to go some hard play action, and they're going to try to run the ball at this Bears defense because the Bears defense has been spotty against the run throughout the season anyway. Yeah. And then also now you're going to have the potential here to try and attack in a way that Aaron Rodgers' precision and time to throw and what he does in getting the rock out of his hands, the offense is going to look different now. But it didn't.
It did
Rudolph
not.
Threw that early pick on the vertical pass, on the fade route, and they said, you know what? We're going to do the Aaron Rodgers thing. We don't want to expose you to interceptions, Mason Rudolph. So they just tried to dink and dunk and everything lateral, and they were having some success with it. But as opposed to just coming off busting the Bears defense in the nose, they put the Bears defense in a position to pursue. Mm-hmm. And so for smallish linebackers who didn't consistently fit blocks against the run downhill with force, they actually – really played into their hands because now they can just watch the ball get snapped and run sideways. Sometimes they got out leveraged to the edge. Sometimes they didn't. DBs on the field works out perfectly for them. The most physical game Nashawn Wright has had in what I believe is a Pro Bowl season that he's put together here, but he's setting the edge. He's the force-contained player. He's getting tackles. Steelers played right into Dennis Allen's hands,
yeah,
and he had the defenders in a position to succeed.
Hey, man, before the fourth and six, when Brisker broke up the pass by getting up in the air, it was Nashawn who tackled DK Metcalf on third and eight to make them eat clock and have to go hurriedly to that fourth and six. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Nashawn played physical, and he might have been able to pick off that one on fourth down too.
Yeah.
I heard Olin talking about it this morning after looking at the tape. He's like, you know what? I think Nashawn might have had that one. Let's go to the phone lines. Gina is in Midlothian, and Gina has been waiting patiently. Appreciate it. You're on 670 The Score with Spiegs and Ann Heron. What's going on?
Well, good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to say that I am a season ticket holder, 24 years in running now, haven't missed a single game. Thank you very much. And it is absolutely wonderful to come home after every game this year, with the exception of the Vikings, of course, and be happy and to know that there's positivity out there, that normally this time of the year we're talking about, oh, geez, who do we got to get rid of? Oh, who are we going to draft next year? Oh, what's going to go on? Blah, blah, blah. we're already talking about next year. This year, every single game matters, and we're going to matter till the end of the season and beyond. So it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling, and I want it to continue for the next 10-plus years, if not more.
God bless you, Gina. I mean, that's it. That's it.
Hadn't missed a game, and what did she say? How many years had she missed
24.
A game? 24. Man, that's an impressive feat.
She's seen some stuff.
Some really horrendous teams.
Yeah.
Some really dysfunctional adults. As opposed to the caller before was praising the functional adults. Seen a lot of dysfunctional ones around these parts. This is Chris in Lockport on the Score. What's up, Chris? Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up that obviously the Bears got the Eagles on Friday, and the Bears are 8-3. That's a new feeling. I've never really felt this before, aside from 2018. But I think that the Eagles are going to lose on Friday. I'm so certain that the Bears will win this game.
Ooh.
They, of course, they're going to win on a field goal or in the last seconds of the game.
That's how they roll.
Because that's the Bears, but I do believe that the Eagles are the worst 8-3 team in the NFL. I do believe that, and the Bears will whoop them on Friday.
Whoop them! It went from a field goal to a whooping! That's different, sir. Those are two very different kinds of wins and results. I'm trying to see the other 8-3 teams. The Colts, the Steelers, are the Eagles worse than the Colts as an 8-3 team? He's got the Eagles, the Bears. He's got the Eagles worse than the Bears and the Seahawks. I don't believe that the Eagles are worse than the Seahawks.
It does fascinate me, the conversation about the defending Super Bowl champions at 8-3, because I don't think there's a lot of that out there. Like, all right, the Eagles win ugly, but there's not a lot of doubt about Philly as far as just their record. It's one of the better records in football, but they've certainly earned the benefit of the doubt because they have a Super Bowl MVP QB. They got a bunch of guys who won a championship together last year and have been to multiple Super Bowls here in recent seasons. And it's an organization that we're just accustomed to them winning anyway. So there's a benefit of the doubt baked into it in a way that the Bears don't benefit from.
For sure.
The Chiefs are what, 5-5 or 5-6 now or something like that?
Well, that's a first big Chiefs win for all these different games. They just jumped to 6-5 with that overtime win over the Colts yesterday. But no, you're right. The Eagles get that benefit of the doubt. I don't know how they did. I mean, I was watching and I don't know how they lost that thing. They're up 21-0. And that two late fumbles, one from Saquon, one from the punt returner, like both damaged them. But, you know, we'll see. We've got time to preview that one. Look, top of the hour.
We're not turning the page yet.
Not yet. It's a good point. We got to decide when we're doing that this week.
Right.
On a 3-day work week. I think we do it tomorrow. To your point.
Ooh.
And you get to be part of the page turn. Look at you, young fella. Congratulations. You can sing it. Karaoke. As long as I say it right.
Karaoke.
Yeah, no, you're the official karaoke pronouncer.
You go. You got there.
Nah, that's all you
meant. Amen. Agbang Bamiga.
Agbang Bamiga. I keep wanting to give him a J. Agbang Bamiga. I don't know. I'm generous like that. Chris Emma joins us at the top of the hour. All right, we've gone long enough. We've praised Caleb, rightfully so. We've praised Ben. We've talked about everything. Let's talk about the absolute worst moment of that game yesterday and how it just can't ever happen again. And I think those involved know it. We'll discuss next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here's Williams in the pocket. Williams trying to get out of the pocket. He won't. Loses the ball. And the Steelers jump on top of it. It's a touchdown. And it's T.J. Watt.
I'm not sure what Caleb was trying to do there. Either tuck the ball away or throw it. One or the other. You can't just let it hang out there like that when you got a defender in your face wrapped all around you.
Yeah, that's a brutal, brutal, horrifying moment. And I spent a lot of Friday scared that the regression monster was coming for the Caleb sacks, that the Houdini act wasn't going to work. And then when that played out like that, I'm like, oh no, there it is. There it is. It's Spiegs and Ant Heron on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Chris Emma is going to be with us at the top of the hour with some audio from all things Bears. But let's talk about this play. Here's Ben Johnson after the game on Caleb's strip sack.
What's the feedback to Caleb after the strip sack?
Just hold on to the ball. Yeah. We know how important these turnovers are. We can't have them. They're not okay. So we're well aware of that.
They're not okay. They're not okay. Here's Caleb Williams on the strip sack after the game with lots of pauses.
Caleb, the strip sack.
Yep.
I know it's probably, as a quarterback, hard to just go down for a safety, but is that what you're supposed to kind of do in that spot? Or?
Yeah, it's what I'm supposed to do is just throw the ball away. In that situation, just throw the ball away, live to fight for another down, and that's it.
Just throw it away. So, look, on a day that we're praising how quick he was to throw it, his lowest time to throw of the year overall, how good he was in the pocket, that was a brutal one. Maybe he'll learn from it. Right, Ant? Because, whoo, man, that just absolutely cannot happen, and it is absolutely on him.
100% on Caleb, and I think that, for me, there's enough data points of Caleb protecting the football, not only as a passer in, you know, kind of INT avoidance, but as a runner. It's one of the things that's been most striking to me about Caleb's willingness to scramble and to improvise is that he's not, you know, usually if a defender's hustling, they'll come and be able to hack the ball away out of the quarterback's hands or poke it away as he's running somewhere. Even as a runner, he's shown that he protects the football at a really high level for a guy who's, you know, he's still not even 2 years into his NFL career, but so far so good in that regard. That was a play that was very out of character for Caleb. And my hope would be, as I looked at it, was recognizing that when you're that backed up, to climb vertically is even more important. You know, when you evaluate players, and we were talking about the Steelers bringing in the practice squad QB and doing the spin move or whatever. I wasn't even Caleb trying to do a spin move. But it is known. It is definitely out there. Caleb's a lateral escape guy, whether it's the spin move, the reverse pivot, or just kind of doing a quick jab and then running sideways. He prefers to escape laterally as opposed to climbing the pocket vertically.
100%. And you saw him trying to do that or thinking about that. And what you saw TJ Watt do is what Tom Brady said last week during the game. You have to do as you're approaching Caleb. You have to settle your feet. You have to slow down as a defender as you're approaching and settle your feet. And we saw in the tape from the Steelers playing against the scout team, that's what they were doing. So they knew.
John Rhys Plumlee.
We knew that they knew they had to settle their feet, and that's what they did. Why it freaked me out is because Caleb has some high-level confidence that sometimes can be problematic arrogance of what he can do when he's trying to escape. And it's been great all year, but eventually in the NFL, they're going to catch you, man. It's like when I saw Josh Allen get sacked 8 times by the Texans the other night, I'm like, get rid of the ball. What are just, you know, and sometimes he didn't have a chance, but there were a couple where he did. It was like, wow, man, I know you think you're an incredible escape artist and stronger than everybody, but sometimes in this league, you got to get rid of it. So I was afraid. A texter says, when that happened, the 40-something-year-old Bears fan in me was already saying goodnight, Irene. Because any other year besides this one, that would have been the game. It's hard to get in the habit that this is a new Bears thing. You know?
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a new life.
So I don't know that it's like... Historically, I don't know that it's out of character for him to get in trouble and sometimes hell to come to breakfast. But, man, that is as bad a result as you could possibly have and should be an unbelievable teaching tool. That's for sure. I did think J.J. Watt was funny when he was talking about T.J. Watt, his brother, passing him in sacks.
All right, take us back with Caleb Williams.
Well, here I do want to say, where I talked about Caleb having to either chuck it or tuck it, T.J. Watt did have his right arm pinned. So while he was trying to escape, and I still believe that he's got to do something a little better early on when he sees him in his face, he did have that right arm pinned.
And that is sack number 115 for T.J. Watt.
Well, that's it. I'm going to put the pads back on because this is preposterous.
I'm sure John and Connie would love that.
Mom, Dad, Uncle Jer, good to see you guys in the crowd.
J.J. and the whole family there to watch T.J.
All right.
And I think J.J. was listening to Anthony Heron do his game on Saturday night. He was listening to Illinois-Wisconsin. We're going to get to this tomorrow in an episode of Spiegel and Holmes Find Out. Tomorrow, we're going to get to this.
Okay.
All right? Because I think J.J. was listening to you on Saturday night. That's what
It was very cute as well when they put the picture up of T.J. on J.J.'s lap and Derek being there too, and they're all just tiny, cuddly little humans before they all became behemoths and sacking quarterbacks and cracking skulls and everything.
Yeah. So, look, this season is full of teachable moments. Let's hope that's one that Caleb doesn't forget. But Bears win. They're 8-3. What's the record? What did Caleb say their record is? I don't remember.
8-3.
Yeah. I think that's what he said, and I forget what league they're in as well. But someday we'll remember it.
We're an 8-3 team in the National Football League.
God bless you. There it is, baby. T. Tyler Ferengul and Alex Kuhn are here. I'm Matt Spiegel. He's Anthony Heron. Chris Emma joins us next on The Score.
Well, that's it. I'm going to put the pads back on because this is preposterous.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help, you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.